The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
You can turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be kind of covering bits and pieces of Joshua chapter 1, 2, and 3 today. Actually, 1, 3, and 4. Next week, we'll look a little bit at 2 and into 5. We'll jump around today. I want to lay a foundation. This is a really interesting time of the Scriptures. If you know about Joshua, Joshua is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. There's a story. How many of you guys have heard of Moses? Okay, most of you. Yeah, okay. The Moses from the Bible. Yeah, okay, so very good. Moses is one of those old stories that I remember growing up as a kid watching the Ten Commandments with, what's his name, Charlton Heston? You know, Charlton Heston was a good Moses in that movie. And I remember watching it every year with my dad and learning that story of how God chose Moses and called him to deliver the people out of Egypt. And then a whole new generation got the story retold in the animated version, The Prince of Egypt. How many saw the old one, Ten Commandments? How many saw The Prince of Egypt? Okay, no, really? How many saw Prince of Egypt? Okay, yeah, it's the same story, just a cartoon version. Okay, so anyway, a great story of deliverance, a great story of how God chooses to use broken, messed up people to do his work. And the great story behind that, and the great moral behind that story, is that many of us are messed up, broken people. And God wants to use each and every one of us. And God's message to us is as we enter this new year, January 2013, as a church and as individuals, God calls us to be strong and courageous. And my hope is that as we go through these next couple of weeks, that God will speak to you and show you areas of your life where he wants you to be stronger and where he wants you to be more courageous, where he wants you to be growing in your faith and in your walk and journey with him. And so I encourage you to come back the next couple of weeks as we look at these stories, as we hear from God, and we learn these lessons together. Another thing that I want to point out to us that I want to draw your attention to is in August 2012, just about 4, 5, 6 months ago, however long ago that was, Hope Hill Church became officially established as a new church plant in Virginia. We became autonomous, and now we are self-supporting in a way. What I mean by that is we depend on the gifts and generosity of those of you sitting in this room. What we do is possible because of who you are, what you do, and what you give. Yes, we do have some great supporters on the outside, but a lot of our initial support has stopped, and now we're doing a good job. And God wants, I believe, God has a lot more ahead of us, a lot more that we can do together. One of the things that will unify us in this is realizing that God calls us to be a part of a family. That song sang earlier today, we are family. We mean it. God calls us to spiritually be united with one another, to be sharing the responsibilities and the burdens to accomplish the call that God has placed in our lives. And we have this card in your handouts. It's called our Hope Hill Church membership card. In a way, I wish it said partnership, because that's really what it is. What is membership at Hope Hill Church? It's partnership. It's you and I partnering together, saying, yes, we feel God has called us in this journey together. And I want to encourage you, if you've not considered partnering with us for this next year, then my hope and prayer is that by the end of today, you will consider doing this and turn this in today. So have that out. When you get bored during my talk today, you can refer to it, look at it, and be ready to hopefully turn it in at the end. All right, so have that out. So back to Moses. Moses was called by God to deliver a special group of people. A few months ago, we talked about a boy named Joseph, who grew up in the land of Egypt. And because of his faithfulness, God blessed Joseph. And God was allowing Joseph to rise up into command and became second in charge of all of Egypt. Well, a great famine hit that area of the world. And during that time, a bunch of people, the Hebrew people, went down to Egypt and they said, can we come here? We see that you have stored up goods for this time, and if you don't help us, we're going to die. And so Joseph took in his brothers. They didn't know it was him, but he forgave them for selling him into slavery. And he said, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. And because I'm here now, I can provide for you. And so we see the nation of Israel grow in this land of Egypt. And during this time, a couple of the pharaohs tolerated the Israelites who were there. But one particular Pharaoh kind of rose up to power and he said, the Israelites are becoming far too great a number. And if we don't put them to work for us and get power over them, they might take over. And so the nation of Egypt took the Hebrew nation, the Israelites, into slavery. Well, God wasn't very happy with that, of course. And God rose up Moses to set them free. And you can go back and watch the movie Ten Commandments or Prince of Egypt to catch the story, or you can read about it in the book of Exodus. I always recommend that you go back to the source for the truth. The book of Exodus will give you a great picture of that story. But as these people rose up, God said, it's not my intention for you to stay in Egypt. I want to take you to a place that I have prepared for you. It was called the Promised Land, a place where it would be your own, where you will live and you will marry, where you will worship me and I will take care of you. You will be my people and I will be your God. And God had a perfect plan for them. But it took 40 years for them to get from Egypt to the land that God promised them. Not because it took that long to travel, but because they were a stubborn people. How many of you would say, I'm stubborn at times? Yeah, okay, thanks for admitting it. I'm not. Yeah, right. Just ask my wife or anybody in my family for that matter. We are a stubborn people, and many times God has a perfect plan for us, but we decide we want to do it our own way. And many times when we do that, we end up messing it up. We end up extending the time. We sometimes have to go back and redo it all. How many of you shop at IKEA? Yeah, okay. I'm about to go to IKEA and buy some bookshelves. And I learned a lesson a few years ago. I bought a bookshelf there, good quality press board furniture that IKEA sells. And I got ahead of the directions. Who needs the directions anyway, right? It's IKEA. How difficult can it be? So I got all the materials out. I got the instructions out. Who needs the instructions? I sent them to the side. I started to put the thing together. How many of you have assembled a Billy bookcase? How many of you have? Okay, yes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I put the two sides on. I put the top and bottom. And all of a sudden I realized, now the shelves got to go in, but they've got these little knob things sticking out that aren't skinny enough to get in the holes because I've put the sides on. Apparently you're supposed to only put one side on and then the shelves and then the other. How many of you have done this? Okay, well, I figured I don't want to extend this. I don't want to make this project take 40 years. And so I'm just going to squeeze them in. So I take it and I begin to press on the sides. If I can just get an inch or two, a wiggle room, it'll fit in. And as I'm pressing, the good quality press board that IKEA makes did not like that. And I had to go buy a new bookshelf because it broke. So sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and we have to be very careful that we don't. And I want you to learn this lesson today with me from the book of Joshua. So turn to Joshua chapter 1 with me and let's look at the lessons that God has for us today. I want us to start with the key verse, Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Verse 9 says this. This is God talking and he's talking to Joshua. Joshua has now been placed in charge of the people of Egypt, of Israel. Moses has just died. Moses had been chosen by God to lead the people to the promised land, but because of many mistakes and just them doing things their own way, Moses and most of the adults that were with Moses did not get to go into the promised land. So Joseph is now called and says, you're now taking Joseph's place. God says this, and I want you to be ready. I'm going to take you in and give you this land. He says this, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Say that with me. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be what? With you wherever you go. Guys, I want us to realize that God has a place that he is calling each and every one of us as individuals and corporately as a church. God knows the plans that he has for us. He has a perfect plan for us, and he will be with us if we follow him. So we need to keep our eyes on him and follow him. Here, he says this. He says, I will be with you wherever you go. So there are 3 points I want you to get today. And I didn't provide handout notes because I wanted you to have a whole blank sheet for you to start writing. And I want you to constantly be asking God this while you hear me talking today. God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do this next year? What do you want me to do with the rest of my life? And I want you to just start taking notes as God speaks to you today. So here are the 3 points I'm going to cover. Number one, get ready. If you want to write these at the top and then refer back to them. Number one, get ready. Number two, don't go ahead of God. Read the directions that IKEA sends you. Don't go ahead of God. And number three, remember what God has done. All right, so let's dive in. Number one, get ready. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready. Leave it up there. Get ready for what? God is ready to take them into this promised land. Now, 40 years earlier, leave the verse up there, Austin. 40 years earlier, Moses had gathered up 12 spies to go in and to check out this land. They had been at the doorstep of this promised land before. And they went in, and 12 came back out, and 10 of them said, we can't go in there. We don't know what God's talking about. There are huge people groups in there. There are tribes and nations that will squash us. And there are these really tall guys, giants in the land, who will tear us up if we try to take their territory. You must have heard God wrong. But two of the others, what were their names? Caleb and Joshua said, no, God has told us that land is ours. We need to be obedient and follow him. He will give it to us. But they were democratic in their actions, and they took a vote, and 10 outruled 2. That's why democracy doesn't work. No, I am thankful for America, okay? 10 overruled the 2, and they didn't go. And God said, what are you not listening to me for? He said, remember, be strong and courageous. Get ready to go into the land. Many of us, we're on the verge of God is calling us to get ready for something. And maybe God has already been telling you to get ready for a while, and you've just been looking at the things ahead of you. You've been looking at the obstacles ahead of you. And you've kind of said, you know, I'm not sure if God really wanted me to get ready now. Maybe he's just telling me to get ready now so that I'll be ready in 5 years. Maybe God has called you to get ready for something, and you think, well, maybe it's a message I'm supposed to be giving to somebody else. It's not really for me. God wants each of us to get ready. He wants to do an amazing work in each of our lives, as individuals and corporately. Are you willing to listen? What are they supposed to get ready for? They were supposed to get ready to cross the Jordan River. The Jordan River was at a very interesting stage at this time of year. It was at flood stage. So it wasn't just a little river. This was a raging, flood-filled river. And the Israelites, I'm sure, are listening to Joseph when he comes to him and says, guys, God's told us to go there. Now, these guys who are living now weren't alive back. Maybe some of the children now are adults. But the story of Moses leading them out of Egypt and they crossed, what river was it? The Nile River, right? The Red Sea. And they had heard about that story, but, you know, they just heard about it. And here now, God is saying, get ready. And sure, I'm sure they're looking at this flood stage river and going, this can't be God. There's no way. We don't have boats. Many of us can't swim. How are we going to get all our goods across this river? But God says, get ready. Many times we look for, I remember growing up and hearing this phrase. By the way, this is not in Scripture at all, but many of us think it is. I should have said it differently. If I would have told you half of the verse, if God opens a door, he what? Or closes a door, he what? Opens another. How many of you think that's in the Bible? It's not. But a lot of us live that way. A lot of us live thinking, oh, we'll just follow the open doors that God provides. Irwin McManus wrote a great book called Chasing Daylight. And it's a book about basically realizing the call that God has placed on your life and seizing the opportunity and just going for it. A lot of us, we wait for an open door or an open window when God wants us to bust through a wall. And there are a lot of walls around us. The enemy does not want God's church to succeed. And so the enemy and the ways of this world are going to be constantly trying to put up barriers and flood rivers around us to keep us stationary so that we can't be what God has called us to be. But God wants us to bust through these rivers. God wants us to bust through these walls. God wants us to put our trust in him, not in what we can do on our own, but what he can do through us. Get ready to cross the Jordan River. This Jordan River was at flood stage, but God was a God in control of everything. God is always working. How many of you did the study experiencing God at some point in your life? Some of you probably don't even know what it is because it's like a 25-year-old study. It's a good one. The truths are still good. But one of the main truths in this study called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, if you want a personal devotional to do on your own sometime this year, I highly recommend it. Henry Blackaby, Experiencing God. One of the key principles is that God is always at work. In every one of our lives, God is always working. And the next one is God invites us to join him in the work that he is doing. God is ready, wants us to be ready for the work that he wants to do through us. Are we ready to join him? He then goes on to say, cross the Jordan River into the land that I am what? About to give them. God has something that he wants to give to each and every one of us. And catch this. God's gifts are not dependent on who you are. God's gifts are not dependent on the mistakes that you have made in your life or how well you deserve them because of the righteous life you've lived. God has a gift for every single one of us. And God's promise to us is that he wants to use us to extend his kingdom in this world. He has land that he has placed us in here in Prince William County that he wants to give us. Now, when I say that, for some of you are all thinking, well, are we going to build a building sometime soon? Who knows? You know, we might be in Ashland Elementary School for the next 30 years. We'll go where God leads us. What I'm talking about is the land. God has not called me to just plant a church, but to be a part of a movement that reaches a city and reaches a nation and reaches the world. And God has called us not to just sit in these chairs an hour a week, but to reach this world. Do you know that 82% of the people that live in Prince William County do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? 82%. Those numbers are huge. 82% of the people have either chosen to not believe in Christ or have not heard the truth and the love that the gospel is. And God has put us here to share that word, to bring that truth to this land. And God has promised us that he will give us this land if we follow him. Are you ready? Get ready. God wants to use us. God wants to do a great work. Let's keep going. Joshua chapter 3. Let's see what happens as Joshua gets this news. Joshua chapter 3, you can turn. We'll skip. We'll come back and fill in those gaps in the next week or so. Joshua chapter 3. So early in the morning, God had spoken to Joshua. He gave him this news, and he was ready to have them listen. So early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving the orders to the people, and they said this, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, who are the Levites, carrying it, you are to what? Move out from your position and follow it." God wants us to get ready to follow him. What this ark was in this group of people was, it was in a sense the symbol of the dwelling place of God. This group of people were chosen to carry this box that was called the Ark of the Covenant. And as they were to carry it, they knew that that was the symbol and presence of God, and they were to follow it. And so Joshua came and he instructed his leaders, and his leaders told the people, "When you see God move, let's follow him." I want to encourage us, as we look, as we have our eyes open, when we see God moving, let's follow him. A couple nights ago, I got to go over and meet in trailer number 97. In the Forest Park community. I got to meet with a group of people who have been praying for the last year, and not just praying, but actively seeking God, and not just actively seeking God, but actively obeying God and what God has been calling us to do in reaching out to this community. 2 years ago, my wife and I, Brandy, were driving around. We were on our date night, and we were driving around, and we just didn't want to go to a movie that night. But we also didn't want to just talk church. We'd been talking church for so long. We wanted to just kind of set church aside and just talk and just be together. So we pull up to the gas station down at the Shell, 234. And as I'm pumping gas, I look over the van and I see a trailer park I had never noticed before, Grayson Village Trailer Park. And I'm looking over the van and I just feel like, wow, I've never known there was a trailer park there. Now, trailer parks get my attention. I lived in a trailer park for a few years growing up, and I just didn't know there were any around here in this area. And so I'm sitting there, and I just feel this overwhelming sense just to pray for that community. So I'm pumping the gas, and the gas finishes filling up, and I pray, and then I get in the car, and I look at Brandy, and I say, so what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Sorry, I don't know what to say. Try that. And she looks at me and she's like, I'm not sure. What do you want to do? And, you know, have you ever had that conversation? And I said, well, I didn't want to bring up the church thing because we had agreed not to do church stuff. And I said, well, let's just drive and see what happens. So we start to pull out of the parking lot and she goes, hey, have you ever noticed there's a trailer park there? And I said, no, let's drive in there. So we drive into the trailer park and we both just, it was like we were talking to each other but not saying any words. It was just weird. It was like, as we drove in, we saw, first of all, this clubhouse and the swimming pool and a tennis court, a basketball court. And there were kids everywhere. I mean, just tons, all ages, just running around, playing around this thing. And we both just looked at her and at each other. And I don't remember which one of the first of us was to say it, but somebody said, God wants us here. And it was just like overwhelmingly powerful. And so for like the next hour, we just drove the streets in that community, just praying. And we got pictures of possibly one day owning a trailer in that community. Possibly one day baking chocolate chip cookies and inviting kids that we saw playing and just helping with their homework and tutoring them. We saw a lot of not just white families but Spanish families, and we thought, well maybe ESOL classes. And we started thinking about all these things. And then a few months later, we're driving the other direction on 234, and we come across another trailer park, Forest Park, and we start just praying for the same thing. And I just started journaling. God, just show us how you want us to be a people that lives in this community who can be used to reach communities like that. And now, sitting amongst you, there are people, some people in here with headsets on today because they can't speak English. And they're being translated. Anna's in the back translating into Spanish right now what I'm saying to families who live in those communities who now come and are a part. We've had many people in those communities come to know Christ because of the outreach. We have adopted close to 40 families from those communities for Christmas and the holidays. And this is because God told us to get ready, and now he's working through us. And this is the tip of the iceberg for what God wants to accomplish through us as we join him in what he wants to do. God is calling us to be strong and courageous and to put our trust in him. He has greater things for us still. Let's keep going. So he then says, Joshua 3, follow it. He then, I want to drop down to verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things through you. The word consecrate in Hebrew is kadash, and it means to prepare, to separate or be set apart for a special purpose. And my challenge to you is, are you prepared? Are you getting yourself ready for God to use you to do amazing things? Are you ready today to say, God, we want to be a people consecrated, set apart for a special purpose to be used by you? I believe that if we come to God and say, God, here we are, send us. Here we are, use us. God will blow us away with the things that he wants to do. The things that we've seen already will compare nothing to what he wants to do through us. Are you ready? Number two, Let's not get ahead of God. I already told the IKEA story, and you saw my illustration there. My shelf literally broke. And here's the scary thing is God can give us a lot of pictures of great things to do. But if we get ahead of God, sometimes we can end up breaking some things or breaking some people. Sometimes when we get ahead of God, we experience burnout. How many of you feel tired just listening to me? Yeah. If we get ahead of God, sometimes things will get out of order. So it's very important that as we set ourselves aside, we look like the Israelites did. The Israelites were told, when you see the ark move, follow it. He then says, but stay back. How far does he tell them to stay back? Does it say? Not in the version I printed for you. 2,000 cubits, which is what? 18 inches per cubit. Half a mile. Okay. So let's stay back. Thanks for doing that math, PR. God wants us to let him lead us. And sometimes we can get so excited about something we just want to run ahead. How many of you had to take those tests where you had to do them in increments and your teacher was like, don't work ahead? I hated those things. I'm the kind of person, maybe it's the ADD in me, I want to get ahead. I want to get busy. I want to jump on the next thing. But God sometimes will say, whoa, I have great things for you, but don't get ahead of me. And here the Israelites are told, don't get ahead of God, but to stay back. Keep a distance about a half a mile, 2,000 cubits. My dad, when I graduated from high school, he gave me a Bible. I had it for years. I lost it in our first year here at Hope Hill. I don't know how I lost it, but it's gone. But one of the parts that I loved about that Bible was he turned to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and he highlighted it, and he wrote me this amazing note. And these verses are strong and powerful for us. Can you put them up there? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 say this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on what? Your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We might look at things and say, how in the world is it possible for us to accomplish this? And God says, don't worry, I've got the details. And if we simply will just trust in him and not lean on our own thoughts, our own understanding, not look at the obstacles in our life through our own eyes, but allow God to lead us, no matter what it seems like is in our way, we will see him do amazing things through us. There is a path that God wants to lead us down. And if we follow him, he will remove the obstacles. Let's see how it happens for Joshua. Joshua chapter 3, let's drop down to verse 14. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at flood stage, and it was during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan, and as soon as their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. God will many times lead us up to the very moment before he removes the obstacle. Don't let that stop you. Trust in God. Trust in what he's calling us to do. Walk and follow him. Have faith in who he is, not in what you can do. And he will change things. He will part things. He will remove things. As soon as they touched the water with the tip of the foot, the water parted. Let's keep going. The water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarenathan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Abra, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on what? Dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed over. There are some Jordan rivers in your life that God wants to take you through. And he simply wants you to trust him. And if you put your trust in him, he will take you through those storms, those rivers, those trials in life. You don't have to worry about how you're going to do it on your own. You have a God who is bigger than all of it, who is ready to take you. And just because God takes you through one trial doesn't mean life is going to be easy the rest of the way. As soon as they got through the Jordan, what was there? The land of Jericho. We'll learn about that more next week. the city in front of them, another huge obstacle, and God's going to blow them away at how he takes them through that one. But God takes you through one trial to prepare you for the next, so that he can continue to stretch you, to grow you, to challenge you, and to prepare you for things that he wants to do in your life in the future. Let us keep our eyes on God. Number three, as we bring things to a close, is let us remember what God has done. After they had got through the Jordan River, they're now past, the whole nation had passed through. Joshua chapter 4 says this. Joshua chapter 4, 1, and then we're going to jump down to 21. Says this, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, to carry them over, and carry them over with you, and put them down at a place here where you stay tonight. He said to the Israelites, verse 21, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what are these stones here for? What do they mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did this, did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, so that you might always fear the Lord your God. So, as we bring things to a close today, a couple questions I want to ask. First of all, are there some Jordan rivers in your life? As we hit January 2013, are there some things that you feel God has surrounded you with, or God has allowed to be in your life, that are keeping you from totally having faith and trusting in him completely and moving towards the things that he wants you to accomplish? Trust in him. God will take you through the Jordans in your life if you let him. Don't get ahead of him. Let him lead you. So as you faithfully pray and seek him, as you surround yourself with other brothers and sisters who are walking this journey with you, and pray with them, seeking counsel, seeking the voice of God through one another, God will lead us as we seek him. Let us do that together. That is what we as a local body are to be here for, to encourage each other, equip each other, challenge each other. When the flood stage gets too scary, for us to say, let's lean on one another. Let's let God lead us, and we can do this together. Are you ready to see what God wants to do in your life this year? Are you ready to see what God wants to accomplish through us as a church together? I'm ready, and I hope you are too. Will you bow in prayer with me as we close? As we look at these things today, we are going to take a time of response as we do each week. Over the next 15 minutes, as we think about what God has done for us in the past, there are trials that have happened in our life. And as Joshua instructed, as God instructed Joshua to instruct the Israelites, take up the stones out of the middle of the river where the ground was dry and use them to remember what God has done. There are probably some stones that you could gather in your own life. There are trials that you've been through in your past that you know God has got you through. Let us take the stones from those times as remembrances. God helped me then. I know he can help me again. Let us take those times to remember that as God was with Moses, as God was with Joshua, God is ready to be here with us now. And there is nothing that can stop the will of God if we are ready to let him lead us, and if we are ready to follow him. This morning, for some of you, the first step in following God would be to simply surrender your life to him. And I say that simply, but I know it's huge. But some of you are ready to do that. This morning, you would be ready to say, God, I don't know how I can do this, but today I give my heart to you. I ask you come into my life, that you reveal yourself to me. You show me in my life how you want to use me, how I can be a part of something that you're doing. God, take me. I'm yours. And all you have to do is realize that there was something in your life that has separated you from God, but Jesus paid for that on the cross when he paid for our sins. And today, he is here with open arms saying, come, be my child. Let me be yours. For others of you, you're a part of the family of God. You've been a part of this church. And God wants to take you to the next step. Whatever that might be. That might be God wants you to start a Bible study at your place of work. It might be God wants you to join a community group to get closer in your walk with God and closer to other believers in this congregation. It may be that God wants you to become a missionary to Uganda. Who knows? God does. And if right now you say, God, show me my next step, he will, if you're ready to listen. So God, I pray right now for each and every person in this room, those who don't know you yet, who are ready to say, God, come into my life, make me new. I pray right now, God, that you would forgive their sins. Because of your blood being shed on a cross, because of your body broken for us, you have made it possible for us to have our relationship with you. So God, I pray for those who are in this room who may never have made that decision, that they would do that right now. And you just do that by right now in your heart, crying out to God, say, God, come into my life. Make me yours. Help me to follow you. Forgive me of my sins and help me to be yours. God, right now, I also pray for those in this room who know that there are some next steps that you want to take them through. And God, I pray that you would give them the faith and the courage to be willing to follow you, no matter what that next step is, that they would be willing and obedient to just take one step at a time to follow you. And God, I pray for us as a community that we would see you do amazing things as we join forces together to become a part of something bigger than ourselves, to see your will be done in this land. So God, move in our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to us and lead us and help us to follow you. As you take time to listen to God's voice over the next few minutes, I want to encourage you to listen to him and to respond as he leads you. That might be to get up and share with me or one of the other prayer teams one of these issues. Maybe you're going to say, I want to go that next step. Will you pray with me about it? We'll be ready to pray with you. We also want to invite you to come up and to take communion, to remember that the body of Christ was broken for you and for me, that his blood was shared as he poured out himself to save us from our sins. And today, let us remember that he did that for us. So God, I pray that you move in our hearts as you lead us through this time. Help us to respond as you lead. In your name we pray. Amen.